I'll never forget the time I was preaching the Sunday morning service in a Baptist church. We're halfway through my sermon. I looked out upon the congregation, and they looked like a cannonball had just shot down through the center aisle of that church. For the looks on their faces were looks of alarm as the disturbing presence of Christ came amongst us, bringing with it a reality of eternity that was startling. It seemed for a moment that time had ceased to exist and everything was frozen and fixed upon the great God of heaven. When I asked the deacons to come forward to assist those who may be interested in the condition of their soul, no one moved. I asked again, a second time, for the good deacons to come forward to the front of the church to assist any seeking salvation. No one moved. So I grabbed my Bible and I left the platform and sat down on the front row. I felt Christ was there and I wanted to worship him. So I fell off my seat onto the floor and I knelt there with my arms stretched up over my head as I worshiped him who was worthy. It wasn't long before I heard footsteps behind me as one here and two there made their way to the front of the church to fall on their knees and get serious with God. A young man leaped up and down the aisle as he came forward. He looked like he was on a pogo stick. As he rushed down front, he just kept hollering, "I just got saved, I just got saved." After it was all over, the worship leader confided in me that he had seen Jesus on his throne. One of the deacons informed me that the reason why they didn't come down front when I asked them to was because they couldn't get up out of their seats, as if they were held there by an unseen force. Now, I'm just relating to you, friends, what these men told me. All I know, I had spent most of the previous night out of bed and on my face, crying out to God to send revival to that church. I believe if God's going to come, then some sacrifices have to be made, because what count costs and what cost counts regarding prayer and repentance. And I believe the reason why we don't see God working today in our midst where we can have the power of God in a meeting is because we just don't want to expend the effort. Before Charles Finney would preach at night, Charles Finney would often spend an entire afternoon shut up in a grove of woods, kneeling by some tree in prayer and crying out to Almighty God to send his presence. God moved in remarkable ways because he had surrendered men willing to pay the price for an open heaven. I feel sorry for the young people today in our churches who have never felt the power of God in a meeting. They know nothing of a God consciousness in church. They just listen to their pastor tell some amusing story or some stale joke, or they hear some dry doctrine and they're bored out of their minds and can't wait to get out of there. I believe God handpicks his choice servants. I believe he knew what he was doing when he picked a George Whitefield and a John Wesley to shake England in revival. I believe he knew what he was doing when he raised up a Finney and a Nettleton to awaken a young America. He knew what he was doing when he raised up a humble D.L. Moody and a fiery Sam Jones to shake their generation with the gospel in Third Day. But we are bereft of such men today. At a time when we need them the most, our churches lay in deep spiritual decay and lethargy, our denominations are in the grip of apostasy, while our nation races to hell like a devil in a red Ferrari. But in 2 Chronicles 16:9, we read, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." I believe with all my heart out there somewhere is Evan Roberts hidden in prayer, lingering there for his country while he's waiting in the wings for God to put him out there before the people. I believe out there somewhere is a young preacher boy, wet behind the ears, but with his face soaked in tears over the sins of the land. I believe God is continually on the lookout for a man who's dead to the world and who is completely consecrated to him. God is on the lookout for such men as these: the Apostle Paul, Luther, Wesley, Whitfield, Knox, Edwards, Finney, Moody. Each shared a common denominator, a fire in their belly. They were each so eaten up with the gospel and thirsty for Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost, they could not stand idly by while others perished. They saw nothing but eternity, worshiped the Holy God, and served a risen Christ, living not for earth nor its gains, but living only for heaven and its rewards. Oh, when they preached, they linked the devil with sin and the cross with salvation. They preached hell and its fire and Christ and him crucified. Not one of them feared king, queen, or pope, and not one of them sought the compliments of men.